Cape Talk. Pippa's on Twitter.
You can tweet her at PJC Hudson.
Now, in today's 25 at 25 segment, we're going to get some advice on how to become a digital nomad. It's a term that used to be something of a rarity, but particularly since COVID, it's become the hottest way to work. A nomadic lifestyle that allows you to do your job from, well, absolutely anywhere, wherever you feel like working. You don't have to stay in one place for too long. You don't have to pay rent on a fixed office space. The work goes wherever you go. Our 25-year-old digital nomad is going to tell us how it works for him, and I hope share some tips on how to potentially make it work for you, either full-time or perhaps just incorporating an element of the nomadic lifestyle into your own working situation. His name is Stefan Olbrich, and we actually happen to have caught him on a visit to Cape Town, but it's not that usual for him to be in town and talking to us from one place because he's not a man who stands still for awfully long. Stefan, it's great to have you with us on the show today. Thanks for your time. Ably demonstrating one of the potential downfalls of a nomadic lifestyle, which is that you always have to rely on technology, don't you? Good afternoon.
Afternoon. Thanks very much for having me on. Yeah, you highlighted that perfectly. I was going to say one of the things that you have to get used to is technology letting you down at the best of times.
Yeah.
So that's a perfect example.
Yeah. Stefan, I mean, what is it that you actually do for a living?
So I work as a product manager at a company called The Delta. Delta is effectively a venture builder, and we work with companies in very different stages of their business life cycles. In summary, and I think the best summary of it is we build and develop web apps and mobile apps with founders, companies, and that is my job. I'm currently working on a project which you may know, which is called Digs Connect, which is one of the largest student accommodation providers or digital student accommodation marketplaces in South Africa. So it's been a very exciting challenge, and we are looking forward to some international expansions as well. So
that's fantastic.
Very valuable for me to be overseas at the time as well.
We've had Digs Connect on the show before. It's a wonderful concept, and I'm really glad to hear that it's doing so well and being able to expand like this. Did you always set out to pursue a field that would allow you flexibility and the freedom to travel when you wanted to, or did you kind of fall into the digital nomad lifestyle by accident?
I say I never quite set out to look for remote work. The way in which I came about the company and actually found the job was all a little bit by chance. After having graduated, I was planning to go do a master's overseas, and then COVID hit, and we faced a number of challenges because of that. I ended up coming back to South Africa and found an internship at this company, and have been there for 2 years since, and the rest has kind of fallen into place because of that.
Okay. And does everybody at Digs Connect work completely remotely, or is there an actual office somewhere?
Currently, our entire team is working fully remote.
Wow.
So it's a unique relationship. I work for a company called The Delta, and we're a company of over 200 people, and we do have offices, but I think I would say 70% of our workforce is based remotely and kind of all spread across all different parts of the world.
Amazing. Okay, so obviously it's not where you thought you were going, but it's offered you a lifestyle that is quite unique. Stefan, I mean, you have worked all over the world. Tell us about some of the places and countries you've visited that you've been able to just carry on working from even while traveling as a tourist.
Yeah, I mean, it has offered me, I'm very, very fortunate to be in the position that I am. I've actually just recently, as of Tuesday, arrived back in Cape Town after traveling for about 5 months whilst working full time.
Wow.
So for the last 5 months, I've been traveling. I started off in Bali, was there for a month, and then I've been across to Italy, Spain, London, Vienna, and Austria. So it really has been an amazing opportunity, not without its challenges.
Yep.
It's been a very cool experience. And yeah, I think you kind of alluded to it a bit earlier. I don't know. It's interesting it's a consideration going forward as to whether or not, if you find a new role, whether that has to be ruined or fully in office. It's a big consideration for a lot of people my age nowadays.
It really is, and even for us old farts as well, Stefan. You know, people have had to adapt under COVID. Businesses which were adamant that it couldn't be done remotely have discovered that actually large parts of what they do can be done remotely very effectively. And as you say, it's shifted people's perspectives on what they want from their package. And if you have realized that you are able to do a large chunk of your work quite well from a remote location, that becomes suddenly a much more important factor going forward in your choices about where you work. So you mentioned challenges, obviously technology being one of them. You would, I would imagine, rely very heavily on a decent internet connection wherever you are, and being able to find you know, places with good Wi-Fi, for example. What are some of the other challenges of this lifestyle?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you're going to have to get used to whipping out your laptop on trains, on planes, and in very different places. Fortunately, like you said, all I need is a decent internet connection, and a second screen is usually quite beneficial, but then I'm good to go. I think the greatest challenges are if you are consistently moving. And I mean, I think for me, what is core and what kind of was successful when I was overseas and working remotely was the ability to find routine. So for me, the routine is critical in order to assure that I'm just driving accountability in my work. I'm able to get everything done, and kind of it's the closest you can get to having that home base if you bring some sort of routine into your life, even whilst you're traveling.
Right.
So I think the greatest challenge is just trying to balance your time between the travels, trying to explore and see new places, meet new people, as well as then obviously ensuring that you're meeting all your requirements at work.
So, I mean, provided the job is being done and being done to a standard that your employer is happy with, it sounds like it's up to you to decide, you know, when that's going to happen. And if there is, you know, something that you particularly want to do that is in the middle of traditional working hours, for example, do you just say to yourself, I'm going to get up early and get the job done before I go? Are you able to be that sort of flexible, particularly when you consider that you are often working in totally different time zones from the office hours of wherever the home base may be?
Yeah, I mean, look, I tried to keep the time zones fairly similar. Okay. Bali was kind of the only place where there was a big time difference. And I actually found it very productive. I was 6 hours ahead, so sometimes I'd have to work late into the evening, but you have the whole morning off, and you have kind of the morning off undisturbed to be very productive in your own work. So as long as you're not a blocker and reliant on other people, then it wasn't really that much of an issue. For me, like you mentioned, waking up early and just getting ahead of things early in the morning was really helpful. And then I think what was key also was just the fact that I stayed in places I tried to stay anywhere that I went for longer than sort of 2 weeks. So you don't feel like you're rushing to do all those touristy things and then trying to manage everything with work. I work in sort of a startup environment, so the hours are sometimes very, very long. But I think what is key to being able to work remotely is really the company culture that we have. There's a lot of structures in place to facilitate and support remote work, so it's not something new for our company. In the last 2 years at least, but they've done a great job in putting the structures and procedures in place to ensure that we facilitate or can manage our jobs remotely.
Just for those who might have joined us late to the conversation, my guest is Stefan Olbrich, who is a 25-year-old digital nomad. He happens to be back in Cape Town as we speak, having just finished a 5-month stint of travelling in which he carried on working as if he were here in Cape Town. And Stefan, from what you've said to us, I'm hearing consistency and discipline coming through everything you're saying about being, you know, mindful of accountability, mindful of routine and the structures in place to enable this kind of work. Not everybody has the self-discipline to be able to pull that off, to be able to say, I'm in Bali, I want to be on the beach observing something or swimming or snorkeling, but I also have to get the work done. Do you think it takes a certain kind of personality type to be able to carry off the digital nomad lifestyle?
Yeah, I think you definitely have to have a little bit of accountability in yourself. And I think what is really important, I mean, there are always going to be distractions, whether you're at home or you're anywhere else in the world. So what is important to me is the fact that I really enjoy what I'm doing. I'm passionate about waking up each morning and doing the job that I do. So those distractions are always there. But yeah, I think I'm accountable to myself and to my peers. So that is kind of what drives me in order to ensure that I can do the job no matter where I am.
Okay. Stefan, the one thing I'll say is at least if you're working in Bali or Austria or Croatia, you're spared the impact of load shedding in Cape Town. You've got that playing in your favour. In all seriousness, though, are you finding as you travel that there are other young people doing the same thing? Are you encountering lots of other digital nomads out there? And are you finding that the countries you visit are responding to that and equipping and setting up things like shared workspaces and public Wi-Fi points where people like yourself can work?
I'd definitely say it depends on where we're talking about.
Okay.
I went to places like Sardinia where it's a very, very quiet little island, and that's not really in place. But then if we talk about a place like Bali, it's kind of the digital nomad dream for many. So in Bali, there's a lot of infrastructure which you can see has been set up in the last while, and a lot which is still being set up. And they really are supporting the remote co-working spaces. So there are a lot, you see more and more places, especially in Bali, which are popping up to support remote work. There are a lot of co-working spaces. They're now also kind of retreats, which have everything all in one, from your living space to your co-working space to your activities, whether it be your gym or facilitated trips or whatnot, all in one space. So yeah, for the large part of it, I mean, I was able to connect to the internet and I was able to find places to work from. That is definitely something. Also, I mean, I did my research before going anywhere, Wi-Fi being the first thing that I was looking for. There were a couple of things on my checklist that I needed to see a place had before making the decision to go there.
Okay, so in terms of advice to anybody else who wants to consider this, even if they're doing it for a short period, not necessarily full-time digital nomadic lifestyle, do your research to check on the Wi-Fi. What are some of the other key considerations you need to check out before you get on the plane?
Yeah, I mean, you also want to obviously see that there is a workspace. I mean, do you want to know more in terms of like the accommodation which I was booking or just the actual city?
Just in general. I mean, the sort of things you need to be sure are in place if you're going to work remotely. Checking out access to Wi-Fi, checking out a physical place to be able to work, being aware of the time zone differences you've referenced. Are there any other sort of key things that have got to be in place to enable you to do this work from anywhere in the world?
I think for me, it was kind of as simple as that. I didn't necessarily need to try to check out transport and see that was readily available. Although if you are wanting to see a place, checking out the public transport and seeing how accessible everything is for you, if that's part of your trip's plans. Yeah.
Okay.
But in terms of work, for me, all I needed was a connection, a quiet enough space to work, and then ensuring that the time zone is more or less in line with my work hours.
Okay. Somebody asking a very pertinent question on the SMS line. Don't you get lonely living in this kind of lifestyle? I mean, for many people, going to the work is going to visit your second family every day. Is it something you struggle with?
I'm sure it can get lonely, but you do also meet a lot of amazing people along the way. I'm not the only digital nomad out there, especially since COVID. So you bumped into a lot of people. Also traveling alone forces you to kind of go outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And you do meet people that are sharing similar interests. Fortunately, I also do have a lot of friends and family that are kind of scattered across the world. Nice. So part of my considerations of where I was visiting was also to align to go and see them.
Okay. So, Stefan, I mean, you're home now, back in Cape Town. Is this a short-term visit, or are you going to put down some roots here for a while before you take off again? I mean, is the intention to keep on living the nomadic lifestyle for a bit longer?
Yeah, I must say the intention is to continue to live the nomad lifestyle. But whilst being overseas, there's no place quite like home, and it is nice to be able to come back to a home base. I think we often take for granted how great South Africa really is. I realized that very quickly when I moved and had been traveling all these different places. It doesn't come without its challenges, but the grass always seems green on the other side, and we're not the only ones facing challenges. So yeah, I think to answer your question in a very long-winded way, I am planning to still live the nomadic lifestyle, but it is nice to be home for a short period of time.
And it's quite something to say that when you've landed in the middle of stage four load shedding, I have to say. Stefan, what a welcome home from Eskom. We turned off the lights in your honour. It's been fascinating chatting to you. Thank you very, very much for joining us on the show today, and enjoy the time back home in Cape Town before you take off to the next exotic destination. Lily, lovely having you on the show today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me, and hopefully it's helped some people make that decision on whether or not they want to live that lifestyle.
Let's hope it has encouraged a few people to take the plunge and give it a try. Stefan Olbrich, our digital nomad in today's 25 at 25.